The gospel reading, we hear the apostles saying to Jesus, "Now we believe that you came from God." Jesus said, "Do you really?" Little bit of suffering, and guess what's going to happen? You're all going to run away, and you're going to leave me all alone. You're going to lock yourself in your house because you're not going to believe that I came from God. You see, this is why the necessity of the suffering. We hear it, as our Lord says, "In the world you will have trouble." Again, he didn't tell us about the gospel of health and wealth. He said, we're going to have trouble. We have to take up our cross and follow him. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. We hear about that in the collect with Saint Rita. Suffered terribly in so many ways, but she united her sufferings with that of Christ. Unlike what happened at this point with the apostles when they ran away, she was able to do what the apostles were able to do later on, and that's see the suffering of Christ and see that they were participating in that and unite themselves with that suffering. And you and I have that same opportunity because, just like the apostles, there may be some point in prayer one day when everything is just all kinds of consolations and it's like, oh, I just love the Lord so much, and oh, I believe 100%. And oh my goodness, then we scratch our finger and it's like, oh, a hangnail. God hates me. I don't believe anymore. Like, really? We change like the wind. And so what God will do is first he'll get us used to hangnails, and then he'll start increasing it. And he'll let us suffer a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Not because he hates us, because he wants our faith to be consistent. He wants it to be deep and profound and real. And if it's just on the surface, then remember that parable that he told us of the sower with the seeds. He said the ones that fall on the surface, they spring up and they die off, because there's no depth. How does it get the depth? Through prayer and through suffering. There's no other way. That doesn't sound too fun. Well, the prayer part's nice, but the suffering part, it's suffering. Saint Teresa tells us that we don't actually want suffering and appreciate suffering till we get through the fifth mansion. There are only seven of them. So until we get to the beyond the fifth level, we don't want it. It's just suffering. It's a pain. But once you get to that point, then you actually begin to see the good that comes from the suffering. Remember Saint André Bessette? He was a little guy up in Canada who was the porter at the door. And he wanted to build St. Joseph's Oratory. And he would go through these terrible sufferings. And then after a while, he saw a pattern. He said, every time that I go through some of this, somebody comes along and donates money or fixes the problem or whatever it is, and the oratory is able to move forward. So then he started rejoicing in the suffering because he said, praise the Lord. If I get to suffer, then the oratory gets built and we can have this oratory for St. Joseph. This is great. Not that he liked the suffering, but he knew what was going to follow from it. So on one level, God is helping us to become saints. He's purifying us. He's strengthening us. He's deepening our faith, because if we can turn to him in the midst of the suffering, not only do we unite our suffering with him, but we recognize that we're being conformed to him. And then he can bring good about in other ways. Whatever it happens to be, what are you praying for? The conversion of this person or for this group or that thing or whatever it is? You can offer the suffering and it brings about good. And then there's cause for rejoicing. So we have to remember, when we read the saints, including all the apostles who say things like, rejoice in the measure in which you share in the suffering of Christ, count it pure joy when you're involved in any kind of trial. And either these guys are mentally ill, or they have gotten to a point of holiness where they recognize the good that comes from the suffering for themselves as well as for others. For them, it was recognizing the conversion of people and having people be baptized and come to Christ. That's why they could rejoice. That's why they found it pure joy, because they knew what would follow. And when we can see that, then we can even rejoice as well. It's not what comes naturally to us, obviously, especially being from Minnesota, where we whine and complain about everything. So for a Minnesotan to actually rejoice in suffering, I mean, this can only be supernatural. So if we can get to that point, then we can truly praise God. We can't say, oh, look what I did. I've gotten to this point. Oh, no, 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 no. God got me to this point, if that's the case. And that's the only way. So talk about a transformation. To go from a typical whiny, complaining Minnesotan to becoming someone who rejoices in suffering like the saints do. Wow. That's what the Lord is offering us. And listen again to what he said. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. You will have trouble in the world, but take courage. I've conquered the world. The peace is in him, not in the world, not even in the suffering, but in him, because we can unite ourselves with him. We can see the good only by looking at him, only by being united with him. And that's where the peace comes from. That's where the joy comes from. So when we look at the saints and we see them rejoicing in their suffering, that's why. Not because they're crazy, because if they were crazy, they wouldn't be saints. I suppose you could say they're crazy in love with the Lord. If that's the case, yeah, then praise God. They're filled with joy. They have the right attitude because they found their peace in the Lord.